Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about the projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get at is this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing All Campus Zombies vs. Humans. This is a piece of flash fiction that I published with Spectator and Spooks last fall. It's framed as an email from a university president to the campus community. So for a lot of the story ideas that I come up with, they come from more abstract places or from letting my imagination roll out from a single image or a single character or plot point. So this is an interesting piece to me because there's a more literal and direct connection to what inspired the piece and what it ended up being. I received an all-campus email from an administrator at the Oregon State University while I was there discussing this game of humans versus zombies. So this game basically has college students who volunteer to play, assuming the role of humans or zombies, and they're equipped with Nerf guns, and they chase each other around, and it's kind of a game of tag kind of scenario. I'm not sure of all of the mechanics, to be honest, but that's the general gist of it, and they wear t-shirts and headbands and whatnot to identify them as humans or zombies and as part of the game, so that they can know who each other are and hopefully only engage with each other for the sake of the game. My first experience with humans versus zombies was that my first year here, it was being played, and I didn't see any message come through about it, at least. I didn't know what the game was. So I remember I was standing outside the library at the university. I had to do some printing and do some work, and saw these students kind of running around and kind of attacking each other. And then I was actually on a phone call with a friend across the country, and so I kind of just tried to walk around the library to a quieter space. And as I rounded the corner and walked down the stairwell, there were these students who were pinned their backs against the wall, holding their Nerf guns close to them. And all of a sudden, it was clear that I was still right in the thick of the game, even when I was trying to avoid it. So that was my experience with humans versus zombies. So I had an idea of what was going on when I saw the email go out. It wasn't as strange as I imagined it could have been if I didn't have at least that much background. But this email that came out from this administrator was just so rhetorically complex that I found myself kind of fascinated by it. It provided the general information of the game, a lot of what I've already laid out, but also had all of these other sub-points. So it emphasized, for example, that the game was organized by students and not planned or even endorsed by the university, and it was very clear about that on multiple occasions. And then later on in the email, it discussed that the game had been happening for a number of years, a little bit about the history of it, which was kind of an unspoken concern, it seemed like they were addressing, about people who would read this email and say that this is a horrible idea, you shouldn't allow this to happen, kind of reassuring them that it had happened over a period of time and had been fine. So there was so much kind of implied and unspoken in this email that I thought it was actually kind of a work of art in and of itself, and also really ripe for parody. So that's the way that I approached this story. That's part of why the story has such a strange name to it. The all campus in brackets is kind of to mirror an all campus email going out to a university community. And the it's kind of that the title kind of acts as the subject line for the email. So this flash fiction piece itself is framed as an email coming from the president character. This character I've established as really prone to flourishes and mini rants midway through what he's trying to communicate. I almost liken him to something like the narrator for the Welcome to Night Vale podcast, in that, kind of ostensibly he's got it very together, he's very professional, but there are all these little signposts kind of signaling that he really doesn't necessarily. So in this email, similarly, he communicates the information about a very similar game to the real life one, this one with the subjects kind of inverted, so it's zombies versus humans. But he also makes it clear that he's upset that he's excluded from the game. More than once he references there was an interest meeting that he was not invited to for the game, which kind of, you know, just again underscores kind of him having some immaturity to him and, you know, being, you know, as an administrator, he seems a little bit taxed by the fact that this game is going on, but then also as a person, he seems a little bit personally hurt that he wasn't included in the game. There's also mention of a Dean character, you know, who lives on campus, and references to that character's hydrangeas being destroyed during last year's game. And this character, I try to establish as a bit of a curmudgeon, with kind of the implication that the president needs to include this information, you know, directly about this Dean, to kind of assuage, you know, how that character is feeling about the whole situation. So for the first draft of this story, there were zombie characters in the story, but they were actually really lightly used. They were kind of very lightly sprinkled and referenced in the early stages, so it'd be easy to miss them, and then explicitly discussed towards the ending. Because I thought that would be a great way of kind of building the joke of this story and kind of you know, really emphasizing the parody of it, of you know, these hints that there's this game, zombies versus humans, but, you know, not to be confused with the actual zombies, and towards the end building to really explicitly saying that, and, you know, saying you should still call you know, university police if you are concerned that there is a zombie attack, but otherwise you should also, you know, try to avoid it yourself and be careful about who you're talking to, because those people may turn out to be zombies themselves. So I was able to connect with the editors of Spectators and Spooks, and they were really great to work with, and, you know, kind of talk back and forth about what we wanted out of this project. You know, because this is a case where we'd had some exchanges before. I'd submitted to them before and had to withdraw some material because it got accepted by another journal, and they'd reached out and said they'd really, you know, hope to see more of my work. So I followed up with them with this piece because it seemed like a good fit for what they were trying to do. And one of the things that they said was that they were really interested in work in their journal, really foregrounding the supernatural elements, which is not something I was accustomed to writing from a more literary perspective, but it was actually a lot of fun once I approached it. So, you know, after that initial draft, it became this really fun process of going back through and weaving in more of a pronounced zombie presence in the story, adding whole paragraphs and kind of modifying other ones to kind of make them, you know, retrofit for this world in which zombies are much more foregrounded. And also communicating all of it through the lens of the doublespeak that the president writes in, to suggest that everything is under control, even when it's increasingly clear that nothing is under control in this situation. So the full text of this piece of flash fiction is available for free at Spectator and Spooks online, and that's linked directly from my main website for everyone who'd like to, you know, follow up and read that again or encounter it for the first time, if that applies to you. Okay, so now it's time for Mike's monthly endorsement. So to review, as an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things, to see what interests and inspires you, and to see what's already out there, and see what's come before you. So at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, story, movie, TV show, band, wrestling match, or some other form of media that may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that may be a little dated now and at the cusp of being forgotten, but that I recommend to you listeners. So for this episode, what I'm recommending is Dear Zachary. This is a documentary that, last I checked, is still available for free streaming on Netflix. It's come and gone a couple times, but at last I saw it was on there. This documentary is ostensibly shot by an amateur filmmaker, a man who wants to try to collect and document his friend's life. Because his friend has this son who won't remember him, I forget if it's that he passed away when the boy was really young, or if it was before he was even born. But in any event, you won't have any actual memories of the father, so this is a way of kind of retaining those memories and passing them on to him. So the film starts off, you know, coming across as a tribute, which is really sweet, but then it also starts getting a little bit darker and kind of getting more complicated, because it becomes clear that there's a little bit of a mystery surrounding how the father died, and all the more so what led up to him dying. And then things get even more out of control in real time. So in the aftermath of the father's death, as this thing is actually being shot, it becomes kind of even more complicated in terms of what's happening with the family in the aftermath. So everything that happens in this film, this documentary, is really kind of off the wall and kind of nuts. So I really don't want to spoil it, because I think it's those twists and turns that make it such an incredible project. But I will just kind of say that, you know, so there are all these twists and turns throughout this hour and a half film. And then there's a final reveal in the very closing stages in terms of what this film is really doing now, which, you know, it kind of in part is what it originally set out to do, but also has taken a really different direction in terms of the filmmaker's intentions. And you know, really brings the whole thing around and recenters it. So I won't say any more on that, because, again, I don't want to spoil it for folks who will watch it. But, again, the name of the film is Dear Zachary. And it's a documentary that, again, last I saw was available on Netflix streaming. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you will check back again. Special thanks go to Mike Peake for providing the theme music for this show. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.